To Deuteronomy this morning, Deuteronomy chapter 2. Deuteronomy. And I thought for a moment, Deuteronomy, what does that mean? Well, we all know it means the second book of the law, right? But more or less, it's looking back, comma, moving forward. And see, it's about reconnecting with God's purpose or plan. Reflecting on God's person. It's refocusing on God's way. And it's responding to God's promise. Go possess the land. Not someday, but today. And what's amazing? The book is written and it comprises the time span of 40 days. 40 days. Most of these other ones, there's years that were invested there. But this is not the second book of law. It's a refresher course. Now, I just thought that was interesting. And okay, so you're there in Deuteronomy chapter 2. Well, we want to look to verses 2 and 3. Now, when I'm looking there, this is where you look to the Israelites. They had been in the wilderness going around the same mountain for 40 years. And they were probably saying to one another, someday this is going to come to an end. Someday. You know, if they would have moved forward on the very same day that God told them to, they wouldn't have had to been looking for their someday to come. May I remind you that they were well taken care of in those 40 years. They had the first perfectly controlled climate to live in. You don't ever hear them saying they were cold and had to build bonfires and stuff like that to stay warm. No. They never had to worry about where their next meal was coming from. And you know, they didn't even have to worry about fresh water. They just went to the tap of the rock. Amen? That's right. Their clothes never wore out, and neither did their sandals. Shoe repairmen would have had a bad time then, wouldn't they, Flo? Yeah. Now, those who made shoes, because see, there are people who like to buy shoes, not because they're worn out, just because they want another pair or a new pair. And they have several pairs and several pairs. Yeah. I don't know anybody in my household is like that. But see, they were looking forward to their someday to come. Yeah. All that time they had it made. But still, they wanted that someday. And on the 11th month of the 40th year, their someday arrived. Your someday will arrive. Could it be today? Verse 2, there in Deuteronomy chapter 2, New American Standard Bible, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, you have circled this mountain long enough. Now turn north. Turn north. They had been going in circles for 40 years. Because of their choice. Yeah, because of a choice that they made. Do you ever find yourself saying, well, someday things are going to get better. Someday my ship will come in. Someday I'm going to make a change. And brother, someday I will become a giver. Someday. The two-word form, Sunday, means a specific but unnamed day, sometime in the future. The word of the Lord said, you have circled this mountain long enough. Go north. Go north. In other words, you've been going west, trying to find east long enough. It's time you turn north. When you start going east, you just go east forever. If you go north, you go to a specific point, do you not? That's why God said, go north. He didn't tell them to go south. He had a specific place for them to go. God said that to them, and it still holds true today. You, too, can change your circumstances. See, someday is knocking on the door. You hear it? It's time to answer the door. Today is somebody's someday, folks. Is it yours? Choose to answer the door and then move northward. You can do it. You know that? You can. Because God's word says that you can. And that should be enough for you. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 13. Now we got to crank this up a little bit. So we're going to use the Amplified Classic here. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. See, it's through Jesus that we get our strength. It's all about Him. We are to lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord. See, when you do, you will be ready for anything and equal to anything. You will be self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. See, it's time to set a new course, a new plan of action here for us. It's time to realize that a change is going to do you good. Yeah. That's why me and Judy reflected when I talked about comfort zones. Yeah, we like our comfort zones. Takes a lot to move us out of our comfort zones. A lot. So my sister, that was for me and you. Hallelujah. Well, today, let me ask you, do you need a victory? Well, Jesus is ready to not just deliver a victory, but complete victory in every situation in your life. John 19, verse 30, on the cross, Jesus said, "It is finished." Three simple words, "It is finished." At the cross, He already took care of it. Whatever need you have, took care of it. We just got to realize that. That's why we should be raising a hallelujah when we think about that. Raise your hallelujah. There's nothing, and I'm going to say, I repeat, there's nothing that can stand up to what He did when He died on the cross for us. Nothing. Colossians chapter 2. That's easy, you just have to flip back a page or two there. And we're going to look to verse 15. New Living Translation. Jesus disarmed. He defeated the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by His victory over them on the cross. The devil and all the powers of hell were conquered and disarmed by our Redeemer. His crown of thorns, it became a crown of laurels. He spoiled them. He broke the devil's power and conquered and disabled him and made a show of him, openly exposed them, all of them, to a public shame. Yeah, He made a show of them in front of all the angels and men. Never had the devil's kingdom received such a mortal blow as the one given by our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the problem is Jesus disarmed him. But we keep trying to arm him with the words coming out of our mouths. Stop it. Stop it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And look to verse 57. The Passion Translation. But we thank God for giving us the victory. What's He given us?
Victory.
Victory as conquerors through our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. And Romans 8:37 says, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. That's the New Living Translation. And the King James says, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Say, I am a conqueror. One more time. I am a conqueror. That means you have the victory. So why would anyone want to settle for just the victory when they can have complete victory? Complete victory in their lives. See, the devil doesn't want you to hear and know anything about that. That's why he wants to keep you out of the Word. He wants to keep your faith weak. And if he can keep you out of the Word, he knows it will bring you into a weakened state where he can come in. Because we speak negative words and open up doors. Because we know in Romans 10:17, what does it say? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We got to keep our faith strong. And how we do that? Word up. Yeah. Come on. That's so simple. Everybody just word up. More worded up you are, the more you're ready when he tries to sling something at you. You're prepared to go, boom, with your shield. Yeah. You can fling that shield. He wants you to know, though, that you're worthy of victory this morning. You are worthy of victory. Now, there's something that say, I am worthy of victory.
I am worthy of victory.
Because I am a conqueror.
Because I am a conqueror.
Through Christ who loves me. And he continually loves you. He loved you then and he loves you now the same. He'll do anything you ask him to do. But you got to ask him. He's not going to give you things that are going to hurt you unless you keep persisting. He says, why do you keep asking? And next you know, somebody else makes the delivery. And it ain't Jesus. And it ain't God. And it ain't the Holy Spirit, is it? No. And do you know why you're worthy of victory? Because he alone made you worthy of it. Turn to Colossians there. Back to Colossians chapter 1. Verse 12, the Passion Translation. Your hearts can soar with joyful gratitude. Joyful gratitude. A joyful person is a thankful person, and a thankful person is a joyful person. Amen? With joyful gratitude, when you think of how God made you worthy. God made you worthy. Made you worthy to receive the glorious inheritance freely given to us by living in the light. We just sang it. Jesus is the light of the world. In John chapter 8, verse 12 of the Passion Translation, Jesus said, I am light to the world, and those who embrace me will experience life-giving light, and they will never walk in darkness. 1 John 1, verses 6 through 7, Message Translation. 1 John 1, 6 through 7. If we claim that we experience a shared life with Him, and continue to stumble around in the dark, we're obviously lying through our teeth. We're not living what we claim. But if we walk in the light, God Himself being the light, we also experience a shared life with one another as the sacrificed blood of Jesus, God's Son, purges all our sins. Wow. He wants you to know He has someday ready experiences available 24/7, folks. Your someday is in the plan. It's in the plan. Okay, with that, go to Jeremiah, Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29, verses 11 through 13. The Good News Translation. I alone know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to bring you prosperity, not disaster. Plans to bring about the future you hope for. Verse 12, then you will call to me, you will come and pray to me, and I will answer you. He will answer you when you come to him and pray. You will seek me, and you will find me, because you seek me with all your heart. When you seek him with all your heart, you're going to find him. He's not going to play hide and go seek. He's not into that. He's available. He's right there. Seek him and you will find him. You might say, you know, Jack, you use that scripture a lot. Well, yeah, well, you know, I learned it from the lady here, you know, from the queen. And yes, I do. I love what it says. I love the hope and the faith that it gives us. I love talking about God's plans, especially for all of us. God has individual, detailed plans for each and every one of us. Detailed. See, making a plan requires a lot of thought. You did know that, right? But God's word doesn't say plan here, does it? It says plans. I alone know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans. You see, God has thought long and hard about multiple ways of using multiple streams of blessings to provide you with a future you hope for. Now, you think about that. Streams. Streams of blessings coming into you. Well, those streams come in and they become rivers. And rivers become oceans. That's the blessings of the Lord. That's a lot. Small beginnings. You know, planning. See, I know a bit about planning. I did that for over 25 years in the mill when I worked. And it just kept getting more and more advanced. But you never had one plan. You had to have multiple plans. Because one plan lined up with the next plan, with the next plan. But you had to spend time developing and putting thought into the plan. And you just prayed that everybody followed the plan. Huh? God says the same thing. I just, everybody would just follow the plan. How do I know the plan? Well, it's in his word. It's his will. Word up. See, he has a plan A. He has a plan B. He has multiple plans and multiple versions of multiple plans. And they're all laid out to help you achieve the future you hope for. Mm-hmm. No matter where you are at in life, no matter what you may be facing, God has plans for you. And he has plans for you to bring them about in a good way. Everything. Even if you think you're at the end of your rope, God has plans to revive you. Yes, he will revive you, brother. God has always had a plan prepared and he's ready for you, but you, are you ready? Are you ready? Because he's had them ready even before you needed one. Because you aren't aware. If you can simply believe, I can tell you that he can and will deliver. Simply believe. When God said he wants to have you be able to attain the abundant life, especially the abundant life that he promised, he meant it. He meant it. Don't be the one, though, to cheat yourself, especially out of what God wants to do in your life. And how do you do that? By doubt and unbelief. If you're not living the abundant life that God promises, don't blame God. Take a moment, look in the mirror. See, get out of God's way, though. And let him start giving you all that he has for you. But you keep getting in the way. You can do that, though. You can get out of the way. Because that's what the Word says in Philippians 4:13 of the New King James. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, let's say that in the Message Bible. Repeat after me. This is the Message Bible, Philippians 4:13. Whatever I have, wherever I am, I can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am. That's why you got to make sure you know who you are in Christ. And what are you? You are more than an overcomer. You have the victory. You are royalty. You are a king's kid. You are a king's kid through Jesus. See, this scripture was not written to give us that warm, fuzzy feeling. No. Like the little train that could, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Because he said, you could, you could, you could, you could, you could, you could, you could. That's what the little train did. He could. And so can you. It has nothing to do with your abilities, but what he did on the cross. What he did on the cross. See, this is a life-changing declaration that was given to the Apostle Paul for everyone who bears the name Christian. We are Christians. It is truly one of those, to him who has ears, let him hear. We can do all things through Christ. That means everything we do with Jesus involved in the details, we can accomplish. Because the Word of God says we can. I know. You're saying, well, I could maybe believe a few things. But come on. Everything? Yes, everything. In Genesis chapter 39, verse 3, Joseph. Says, the Lord made everything that Joseph did to prosper in his hand. Question. Do you believe that God is a respecter of persons? Do you believe that you have what Joseph had? Because you should. You should. See, God gives a measure of faith to everyone. No one is shortchanged. So do you fit under the category of everyone? I think so. In Mark chapter 9, verse 23, Mark chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. All things are possible to him who can believe. At times, it didn't look like the future for Joseph had much hope, did it? But see, he believed God had a plan for him. And because he simply believed God would bring it to pass, everything he put his hand to prospered. Everything. He simply believed God. The word says, all things are possible to him who believes. Him who believes. God's word never returns void. It always accomplishes what it is sent out to do. Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent his word and healed. And he also sent his word and delivered us from the pit of hell. Salvation. Salvation. He sent Jesus to save us. Do you believe that you are saved? Man, that's real weak. Are you saved? Jesus saved you. Are you healed? Yeah, because Jesus healed you also. If you believe the one, you must believe the other, because the two go together. His body was broken, beat up, and abused for you and me, so that we may be able to have health and healing. By Jesus' stripes, we were healed. Were healed. Your body speaks to you, speak back to it. Speak back to it. It's going to speak sometimes real hard. It speaks to me. But I speak back. See, because I know a body in motion stays in motion. If it's sitting, it ain't getting up and moving. And for me, I got to get up and move. I choose to. I choose to. That's the key. I choose to. I'm not going to stay down. So what are you believing? And just more importantly, what are you speaking? Your speaking will expose how you're believing. Our words. Who has control over your tongue? See, sometimes it's good to just bite your tongue. But it hurts, don't it, Trace? Yeah, she bit her tongue the other day at the supper table. Man, there was tears coming down her eyes. She was enjoying that meal till that happened. But sometimes that's what we need to do, to bring an awareness of what's come out across that tongue. Bite it. Maybe it'll stop doing what it's doing to you. You have the control over your tongue. See, because we're believers. And believers can speak the right things. Because a believer, believers are mountain movers. They're water walkers. They're more than just an overcomer. And that's because believers have been set free by Jesus. Remember that. We are mountain movers. We're water walkers. And we're just not overcomers. We're more than just an overcomer. His word never returns void. So he's already done his part. What we have to do now is our part. And that is believe that he is able to do what he's been telling us all along. He's been telling us. But has it been sinking in? Is it taking root? Is it going down into the cellar, down into the depths, into your spirit? But remember, not only could he do it, but he is willing and he can do it. And he does it for every believer. Every believer. God is looking for someone willing to step out of the box. Someone that's ready for him to reveal the plans he has for them in their life. And move northward. Move northward. You can change direction. You can do all things through Christ. If you are fed up with your present situation and the way things have been going on in your life, as I said, change it. That's right. Just change it. You say yes, but you don't understand what it would take for me to make the changes in my life that need to be made? Maybe not. But you see, I don't need to understand. And I don't need to figure out your problems. And neither do you. Just give them to the Lord. Give them to the Lord. And when you give them to the Lord, leave them there. Don't pick them up. He'll take care of all five, will he not, brother? If you give them to him. Because when you take them back, those last two took a long time to get answered. Because you didn't totally let go. Let go. Let go and let God. Let God. He is well able. Well able. See, God already has all the solutions. Quit looking at the problems and start looking at the problem solver. Man. Focus. Focus on Him. He can take care of your situation if you ask Him to. If you ask Him to. But you got to ask Him. Because you see, nothing is too hard for Him. Nothing is too hard for Him. Jeremiah 32, verse 27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? All right, he's asked you a question. Is there anything too hard for me? And we all say no to that. There is no situation that he can't turn around. He is the Creator. The Creator. See, for God,
that was easy.
But we try to get in and we make it hard. God says, wait a minute, it's easy. Trust me. And he says, trust me. But what do? I don't know. Trust me. With all your heart, he's not going to let you down. He's not going to let you down. That proves it right there. That cross. He's not going to let you down. They hung him high for you and me. He's not going to let you down. If he did that for you then, imagine what he'll do for you now. He's already equipped you. He already beat the devil up. Don't let the devil come and try to do something he can't do anymore because he's disarmed. He is disarmed. He's defeated. He doesn't want you to know that. He keeps trying to convince you otherwise. Look at all the things that we got to deal with in this world. But we can deal with them because we're more than overcomers. Through him we have our victory. See, he's always there working behind the scenes for us. And that way he gives us the strength to be able to turn our circumstances, whether they be bad or good, around for us. Because in Romans 8, 28, in everything God works for good of those who love him. Those who love him. That's why we keep saying, what's love got to do with it? Everything. Everything. It's in his plan for us to work everything to our good. So are you ready to step out of your old life and into the new one God has waiting for you? You ought to be. Why would you want to stay one more day or even one more minute where you're at? Scripture tells us that God is doing something fresh and new. But there's a catch. The condition and requirements for receiving the new. Let go of the old. Quit hanging on to the old. You're a new creation. Those old things have passed away. You're new. You got to believe that. Because a greater one is in you. He moved in the day you said, Jesus be my Lord. Come, abide, live in me. And you are strong because of that. You are an overcomer, more than an overcomer. Hallelujah. The lame man at the pool of Bethesda, the place of blessing. No doubt he had seen many people get their healings. I'm sure he seen many people get their deliverances. Many people got their breakthroughs. Yeah. He saw that for years. And repeatedly, the devil taunted him. It's like he taunts you and me. Taunted him and told him, "You're never going to get your miracle, dude." You hear that? It's been 38 years. Give it up, would you? Why even bother trying? It's a long time. What I'm telling you, folks, don't give up. Never give up. God will deliver. He can, and he said, I will be healed. Be healed in Jesus' name. But one day, for him, the water didn't just stir. No, the one who could make it stir stood in front of him. Jesus himself stood in front of him. And do you know what Jesus did? He asked him one question, and it wasn't, "Do you want to watch someone else get healed again today?" No, he said, "Do you want to be healed?" See, at that moment, there wasn't anything or anyone that could keep him down once Jesus spoke to him. The only one who could keep him from his blessing was himself. What did he do? He didn't say a word. He just picked up his sleeping blanket and he said, "Thank you, Jesus," and he was moving forward. He didn't care because it was against the law for him to do that. He couldn't carry that bedding in the day, could he? No. But he reacted on what God told him to do. When Jesus spoke to him, when Jesus speaks to you, do what he says. Read the red and do what it says. Hallelujah. What do you want? Because the only one who can keep you from your blessings is you. That's you. It's on you. It's on me. I fall into the same category. But God stands ready to bless us. He loves to bless his kids. We're king's kids. See, it gives him great pleasure. Makes him happy, happy, happy. There's nothing that will ever come up against us in this life that he has not already provided for. Nothing. He has abundantly provided. He is El Shaddai. He is the God of more than enough. Not a God of barely enough. More than enough. More than enough. When you stop and think about it, he could not have made it any easier, could he? He doesn't ask you to walk 10 miles to get it, does he? You don't even have to take a loan out to buy it. See, you could never in this lifetime do enough to even earn it. I don't care how much overtime you work. That's not what it's about. All we have to do is ask and simply believe. Simply believe that God can and will do what his word says. And what's Mark 11:24 say? Whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. You will have them. The solutions to all of life's problems have always been there waiting. Just waiting for us to step in to them and use them. Yeah, use them. There's an old gospel hymn called "Every Need Supplied." I asked my dear Savior what he had purchased for me when on Calvary he died. for all my past and all my problems. He just said that he'd provide. Every need supplied, healing, cleansing, sweet peace inside. Every need he supplied. If I had to name the greatest blessing he's given, how would I decide? For after he saved me, I just have to say, every need he has supplied. Philippians 4:19 says that God will supply all of our needs. All of our needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Tony, another little story. Fred and Cheryl, a married married couple, went to Haiti in 1985 to bring a child home that they had adopted. Addie was 5 years old. Her parents had been killed in a traffic accident that left her without a family. And as she walked across the tarmac to board the plane, the tiny orphan reached up and slipped her hands into the hands of her new parents, whom she had just met. They described it as her birth moment, when in that physical act of grasping their hands, she expressed an innocent, fearless trust in their care. That evening, when they were back home in Arizona, they sat down to their first supper together with their new daughter. There was a platter of pork chops and a bowl of mashed potatoes and a loaf of bread on the table. After the first serving, their two teenage boys kept refilling their plates. Soon the pork chops had disappeared and the potatoes were gone. The loaf of bread was not there anymore. Addie had never seen so much food on the table in her whole life. Her eyes were big as she watched her new brothers, Thatcher and Grim, satisfy their ravenous teenage appetites. Mind you, your brothers, Christy? Okay, I thought it would. Fred and Cheryl noticed that Addie had become very quiet and realized that something was wrong. Was it agitation, bewilderment, insecurity? Then Cheryl guessed that it was the disappearing food. She suspected that because Addie had grown up hungry, when food was gone from the table, she might be thinking that it would be a day or more before there was any more food to eat. Cheryl had guessed right. She took Addie's hand and led her to the bread drawer and pulled it out, showing her the backup of 3 loaves of bread. She took her to the refrigerator, opened the door, and showed her bottles of milk and orange juice, the fresh vegetables, jars of jelly and jam and peanut butter, a carton of eggs, and a package of bacon. She took her to the pantry with its bins of potatoes, onions, and squash, and the shelves of canned goods, tomatoes, and peaches, and pickles. She opened the freezer and showed Addie 3 or 4 chickens, a few packages of fish, and 2 cartons of Breyers ice cream. Oh, yeah. Got to be Breyers. All the time, she was reassuring Addie that there was lots of food in the house, that no matter how much Thatcher and Graham ate and how fast they ate it, there was a lot more where that came from. She would never go hungry again. You know, and for us, it's the same. God's pantry is not bare. The refrigerators are not empty. God wants us to be assured of that same thing today. He lacks nothing. See, and he's already provided all the provisions we will ever need. We just got to partake of them. They're there for us. So why wait any longer? Start walking in all the good that has been given to you and me. He wants you to eat until you get full. You know, there's always leftovers whenever he provides. He fed a multitude, did he not? And there was leftovers. He wants you to know that you have unlimited access to everything he has. Start enjoying the abundant life that God has promised you. Today is your someday. It has arrived. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.